This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Gracious God, may the deepest desires of our heart be that of John the Baptist, that we might decrease so that you might increase in us. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
I read the story of a man who got sick and went to the doctor, and he goes into the little room and the doctor takes care of him and gives him the prescription and then sends him on his merry way and says to him as he's leaving, "When you go out, tell Mrs. Smith to come in here." And so the man goes out and he just says, "Mrs. Smith," and then continues to walk out the door and down the steps and out into the street. And he's about a block away when he finally realizes that Mrs. Smith is following him. Leadership is what the gospel screams to us today. Christian leadership, though. Sometimes we think of leadership as leading others. I know Rick Warren at Saddleback has a great practical way of looking at leadership. He says, "You think you're a leader? Well, turn around and see if anybody's following you. If they are, you're a leader." But what we get today from the examples of John and Andrew tells us a lot about what it means to be a Christian leader. You know, John, he was growing in popularity. Even these disciples that become Jesus' disciples were his. He had a following. He had groupies. He had people who looked to him. He had to feel good about that. But John knew it wasn't about him. We spent so much time looking at John in our Lenten, in our Advent season, but we get this idea again that John knows his job is to be like that polished arrow that we heard about in Isaiah, of pointing the way to Christ. And so he does that. Look, there goes the Lamb of God. Now, this Lamb of God idea is crucial to our understanding of John's gospel. It is all constructed with that in mind. John even has it chronologically. I tell the story when we have our Seder. He's constructed the timeline such that Jesus dies on the cross at the exact time when the lambs would have been slaughtered for the Passover. He doesn't want us to miss that symbolism of this lamb. And so John starts that out here in the first chapter. John even continues that into the book of Revelation when he is going to say, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor and glory and power." This is a crucible of the whole thing, the crux of the whole matter, who this Jesus is. But it's not about John. Now, we can say the same about Andrew. Andrew knows it's not about Andrew. Andrew appears three major times in the scriptures. And each time, he is not pointing something out about himself, but he is bringing other people, pointing them to Jesus. And so, he brings Simon Peter to Jesus. Think about what might not have happened in our church had Andrew not brought his brother to Jesus. Later on, there's all of these thousands of people gathered. We know the story on the hillside. They don't have food. It is Andrew who is the one who brings the little boy forward who has the loaves and the fishes that becomes the material for Jesus to do one of his greatest miracles. And later on, another story, Andrew. There are some Greeks who want to see Jesus. It is Andrew who brings them to Jesus. Both John and Andrew teach us about Christian leadership that it is about putting ourselves secondarily and bringing others to the fore, bringing the best out of them. One of the greatest illustrations of this for me comes from a movie that was popular about 10 years ago called Seabiscuit. You might have seen it. There's this story of this jockey and a renegade horse, and they are able to tame this horse and get this horse so that it is able to race and win. And this jockey becomes famous, the horse becomes famous, such that a man brings another horse to the jockey and says, "Would you try it out and see if you can give me any hints?" Well, what happens is that horse is crazy and he falls off the horse and he is injured and he cannot race the big race with Seabiscuit. So they call in a replacement jockey. And he has to give to this replacement jockey from his hospital bed the hints as to how this horse will win. Let's watch this first clip that gives us this insight.
You know how Smith wants you to fight for the lead by the first turn?
Yeah. We were working with that bell. I was a little nervous about that.
No, it's fine. But you gotta give it up on the backstretch.
Give it up?
Give him back the lead. He fights for it, Georgie. If you bring him head to head with that other horse and he looks him in the eye, there's no way he loses that race. You just hold him through that final turn and let him get a good look at the Admiral. Then let him go. It's not in his feet, Georgie. It's right here.
What that jockey has done is give away the secrets. It is not about him anymore. It is about helping this person to succeed. Perhaps that is what leadership is about for us. You know, in the reading we heard from Paul today, the beginning of the first letter to the Corinthians, we hear the reading that is the theme of the octave of prayer for Christian unity that we began yesterday. And what's amazing about that reading is the people in Corinth, they're having trouble. They are messed up. They're not being nice to one another. That's why Paul ends up with that great passage we hear at so many weddings about what love is, because they aren't loving each other. They really need to be corrected. But notice how Paul starts off 1 Corinthians. He compliments them on the way in which God is active in their life. He could have been very negative from the get-go, but he compliments them and encourages them from the get-go. Maybe this is an approach we need to take more often. You know, the opening collect we had today, that Jesus might be known, worshipped, and obeyed. Too often, we want to jump to the obey part. When if people don't know him to begin with, through their experience with us, there is no possible way they will ever worship or obey. This is a great gift that we are given, to put others, to bring out the best in other people. You know, we begin today the green season. And I always like to quote my favorite theologian, Kermit the Frog, on this day. It ain't easy being green. Because we are now into this long period of time. Christmas is long gone. Easter is far away. And if you are a parent or a student, you know that these can become the difficult routine days. We used to call it in seminary the Februaries. The Februaries meant that there was always going to be all sorts of commotion and problems and difficulties between people I guess just because there's so much of just a routine existence that we are in these days. The opportunity before us is to look at Andrew, to look at John, and perhaps to use this as the opportunity to be true Christian leaders, looking and bringing out the best in each other as we go forward. The second thing we learn from Seabiscuit is what happens towards the end of this movie. You see, the man, the jockey who was injured, is able to race one more time. And so he now is at the starting gate, but the replacement jockey, to whom he revealed the secrets of what makes Seabiscuit perform to the best of Seabiscuit's ability, he knows this. He is now a competing jockey to the man who had been injured. Watch the end of this movie and we see what true Christian leadership can enable us to do.
Hey, old man.
What are you doing here?
Got another mount. Just because I'm not riding him doesn't mean I'm going to sit it out.
Don't worry. I don't stand a chance.
I'll see you at the finish.
Thank you. You know, everybody thinks we found this broken down horse and fixed him. But we didn't. He fixed us. Every one of us. And I guess in a way, we kind of fixed each other too.
That replacement jockey knew the potential within that horse and the other jockey. And so he chose to stay back because he knew when Seabiscuit looked into the eyes of that other horse, that would be that which would propel him forward to perform to the best of that horse's ability. This is the feast day of all those who choose to exercise their leadership in such a way that they stay back to enable others to shine. If you are a parent who sacrifices so your children can be all that you want them to be, this is your feast day. Those of you who are in education and do anything you can to bring the best out of your children, whether in the classroom or on the athletic field, this is your feast day. This is the feast day of people like Betty Loper, who lived as a saint in this church into her 90s, and to her dying day was the biggest advocate for our youth of anybody I have ever met. And she said, I live vicariously through them because I want them to have these experiences that will bring them to their spiritual formation. To stay back so that others might shine. May we be like John the Baptist, like Andrew. May we decrease so that he might increase.